ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER101 from the American College of Emergency Physicians. Well, as we said, May is Stroke Awareness Month, and one of the biggest risk factors for stroke or heart attack is people with high blood pressure. And it's so often called the silent killer because we don't even know sometimes that we have it until something bad happens. So I want to welcome my next guest and expert, Dr. Gary Goodman. He's an emergency physician practicing at multiple hospitals in Central Florida. He is a diplomat of the American Board of Internal Medicine and Emergency Medicine, as well as assistant professor of clinical medicine at University of Central Florida. Welcome, Dr. Goodman, and thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm a big fan of your show and very, very happy to be a part of it.
Well, we're happy to have you here, and thank you. So, you know, high blood pressure, it's, you know, the American Heart Association always talks about these campaigns, Know Your Number, and it is surprising how many people really don't know their blood pressure and don't get it checked. And yet high blood pressure is just probably one of the most common conditions we have. Isn't that true?
You know, it's unfortunate. One in three adults, approximately 68 million of our population have high blood pressure, and according to the CDC, this provides a very high risk for heart disease and stroke. So many of us take for granted, as we're in our 30s, 40s, and 50s, that you know we're otherwise going to be healthy, and unfortunately, this silent killer is lurking in the background.
Right.
What I find, and I'm sure you might agree, we all walk past the pharmacy seat that has that little blood pressure cuff on it. We all walk past the supermarket has a similar presentation, and you know we think not us. The reality is that many of us do have mild to moderate high blood pressure, and this has been shown over time to become a much greater risk for our lifetime that we should acknowledge, and many of us don't.
Yeah, and that's a very good point because, you know, it's so funny. It's amazing. You know, people come in for unrelated things to the emergency room, and we take their blood pressure, and it's like, whoa, and they're like, they have no idea. Now, there is this little incident, you know, obviously you think they're coming in, they have stitches, they're anxious. It's the whole white coat syndrome, but kind of the best way probably for you to judge your blood pressure as you're relaxed when you're in the grocery store, although I don't know how relaxed people are. Usually I'm rushing to the grocery store in between 20 things. But, you know, when you're by yourself or whatever, you're not worried, you don't have the white coat syndrome, to just sit down and check it and see exactly what it is. And that's probably one of the better ways to check it than wait until you're seen by a doctor and worried about something else, don't you think?
Well, I would certainly agree, and this is called ambulatory monitoring. Patients can either buy their own blood pressure cuff, or they can, you know, attend one of these small little monitoring stations in the supermarket or the pharmacy. And really, I mean, there are three or four types of populations: one that don't care, two that will go in there and sporadically, okay, I'll try it once, and it looks good, and no big deal. And then there's the patient character that will do it 80 times a day, and that's not good either. You know, the reality of it is that if one takes a average week, say out of a month, and monitors their blood pressure perhaps twice a day, once in the morning, maybe around 10 after breakfast, once in the evening, maybe around 6 o'clock after dinner, and they write down these numbers and provide it to their primary care doctor, the white coat, which, by the way, the American Board of Internal Medicine has weeded out, is actually real hypertension. It's really kind of not, we can't really call it white coat anymore. But the reality of it is that if they provide these ambulatory measurements over, say, a week, and it really doesn't have to be that complicated, then it can give us a better understanding as to where we need to bring these patients in terms of their modifications, their lifestyle changes, and potentially medication therapies.
Okay, so let's tell everybody what is considered, and it has changed a little bit, as you said and just alluded to, what is considered normal blood pressure, what's maybe pre-high hypertension is the medical definition, and what are the different types of stages of hypertension? So when should you be alarmed?
I would be happy to get into that. The JNC7, which is the Joint National Committee on Prevention, Detection, Evaluation, and Treatment of High Blood Pressure, comes out with white papers every couple of years. And the latest one, believe it or not, has significantly dropped the parameters so that those who thought they were not hypertensive in the past, actually a good 22% of them actually are now considered either pre-hypertensive or hypertensive. JNC requires that we consider it a four-tier. Normal blood pressure is systolic blood pressure less than 120 mmHg over 80. Prehypertension is 120 to 139 systolic over 80 to 89 diastolic. And when we start breaking into hypertension, it's stage 1 hypertension is 140 to 159 over 90 to 99. And finally, stage 2 and higher is greater than 160 over 100 diastolic. So the reality of it is that those who were previously not considered hypertensive are either now pre-hypertensive or actually hypertensive. And JNC is actually coming out with their next paper, hopefully within the next year or two. But the reality of it is that a good 22% of us are actually people that we need to catch now as ER doctors and primary care providers.
Right. And some people say that you should really shoot, even though we say 120 over 80, you should shoot more for, you know, less than 80, like 75 diastolic, which is the lower number, right? And the maybe 115 or something systolic, the higher number.
The ultimate public health goal is the reduction of cardiovascular and renal morbidity and mortality. And since most persons with hypertension, especially those greater than 50, they're going to reach their diastolic goal once the systolic goal is reached. So what we're trying to do is get the patients at least under 130. Certainly, you want to keep your diastolic down, as that ends up causing more damage to the heart and the kidneys in the eventual end game. But yes, no, we're definitely trying to get the patients at least between 110 and 120, and certainly under 80 diastolic. And there's quite a few ways to get there.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that, because blood pressure is something, you know, not always 100% completely under your control, but there are a lot of things that you can do that can help lower your blood pressure.
Well, certainly diet and exercise are the big players, and some patients are amenable to this, some are not. Some patients attempt it, some patients fail, and there are patients who just, they're not going to try it no matter what we say to them. The JNC, again, goes into different ways of lifestyle modification. Certainly exercise, at least walking 30 minutes daily is good for the heart and for the blood pressure. And certainly they talk about something called the DASH diet, which is dietary approaches to stopping hypertension, which is basically a diet rich in potassium and calcium and lower in sodium intake. And this has definitely been shown to create a positive outcome. And sometimes, occasionally, they will end up requiring medication, but less than average. And certainly, if you can increase your lifestyle modifications, one big one that is underscored is tobacco. If you smoke, you should try to quit as soon as possible, or at least reduce your intake. It's just not going to be good for no matter how you do it.
And that is absolutely important. And when you do talk about sodium in your diet, absolutely one of the issues is that we eat too much processed foods. And if you read the back of these processed foods, you can see how much sodium there is. So when we talk about diet and exercise related to high blood pressure, I think the absolute key is to eat as much real fresh fruits and vegetables as opposed to canned. Frozen is as good as fresh when you heat them up again, and the sodium content will be much lower. Well, I think the most important takeaway to this is that you should know your numbers and check your blood pressure and talk to your doctor about it. Because even if your doctor's put you on medication, it's important to know that if you change your lifestyle and take a little control, you absolutely can lower your numbers yourself and sometimes even get off the medication.